Time to talk food. It is time to talk food with the food maven, Arthur Schwartz, who joins us on a Monday morning. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm still alive. However, I did risk my life yesterday for vegetables. I'll explain. But I think that might be on my tombstone. If I succumb to the virus, he risks his life to eat vegetables and fruit. It is the hardest thing to get. I think I've complained about this plenty in previous weeks, but the saga continues. And I got my fresh direct delivery, but it was made so many weeks ago, I even forgot what was in there. What was in there was a lot of chicken and some ground beef, their own brand in a sealed plastic thingy, but not many vegetables. I don't know what I was thinking at the time. There were no lemons even, and I use lemons every day. So I don't know. There were two red peppers that I never in a million years would have bought in the supermarket if I'd been there. One was actually half rotted already, and that was from Fresh Direct, which is usually very reliable. But they were Holland peppers. I don't even want to look at what they cost. Something I wouldn't have paid. And, as I said, half was rotten. And that was it. So, here I am with all this meat. And also, I got a delivery from D'Artagnan. I've been touting De Braga, and I do love De Braga. But I see that some of my neighbors... Well, actually, the reason I ordered from D'Artagnan, I think I mentioned last week, is that there were no whole chickens around, and I was able to order whole chickens from D'Artagnan. But finally, yesterday, I decided I'm going to go to my supermarket, the fancy one around the corner, where I know that they're very, very careful, and they have a senior hour from 9 to 10 in the morning, and one of my neighbors went and said there was nobody else in the store, and it seemed very safe. So I went, but there were a lot of people in the store, too many people in the store, and they didn't look old. I even said something to the woman who was in charge of the bakery and I don't know what else back there, the counter people who were behind in the deli counter. And she said, well, not everybody abides by the rules. She said, but then there are people who have compromised immune systems, and this hour is for them, too. So, I mean, you can't stand at the door, I guess, ask to see ID to see if you're a senior or prove that you have an immune deficiency disease. But I was not all that comfortable in the store, and there was a lot of waiting for people to pass in the aisle. I mean, people do that, but still some people don't do that. And especially in the produce department, which is very narrow aisles in this store, I didn't feel altogether safe, but I gathered up my vegetables, and I am extremely well stocked now, and I'm figuring I'm good for 2 weeks, maybe it's 2 weeks. Let me tell you that certain vegetables will stay around, and I've written about this a million times, but right now I feel fennel is my friend, because fennel a week later is still terrific. If it gets a little brown on the outside, some brown spots, or it doesn't look all that pretty, take your vegetable peeler and peel off that layer. Don't just lop off the whole, I don't even know what to call them, but you know, the segment, it's actually the bottom of a stem that grows into this bulb-shaped vegetable. And so don't waste the whole segment. Just shave it with a vegetable peeler. It's fine. And so even 2 weeks later, they may be fine. They hold up very well in the vegetable bin. The other thing that holds up well is boxed salad. I mean, I don't know what they put in the box. I'm scared to ask. Jill was here. She probably could tell us. I think her brother's in the business. But, you know, it holds up at least a week. A head of lettuce isn't necessarily so good the next week. What else did I buy? I can't wait this morning. I know this is so strange that I'm looking forward to cleaning spinach. But they had real, you know, fresh spring field spinach in my market, as opposed to the a friend of mine said, "Oh, well, I just buy a box of baby spinach and blah blah." But you know, I did it just to see, you know, what is this? I never think to use that baby spinach for as spinach. It's a salad to me, but sure enough, it cooks up perfectly okay. But I just as soon have a box of spinach, a frozen spinach, be honest with you. But this spinach is going to be terrific. The stems were not too heavy. I'm thinking maybe I'll even leave some stems in. Usually I pick the leaves off. And I wash it at least, field spinach, you have to wash at least twice, if not three times. I'll put it in a big, big stainless steel pot, swish it around in cold water, and let it stand a couple of minutes so that the sand that you've dislodged goes to the bottom of the pot. And then, using your hand like a claw, you take the spinach off the surface of the water and put it in a colander and dump out all the water, which will now be sandy, rinse out the pot, and start all over again. And it can't hurt to do it three times if it's sandy spinach. Really, it can't. And I sort of like that process. And then I don't do anything with the spinach except put it in back in the same stainless pot that is now empty and dry. And with whatever water is clinging to the spinach, but actually as I grab it, I usually shake off some water. I don't really want a lot of water in the pot. And that's it. I put it over medium-high heat, and I as soon as I see the first plume of vapor, I start turning the spinach with my tongs until it's all wilted, and that's it. It produces a lot of liquid, so you, for most uses, you're going to want to squeeze it out. What else did I buy? Questions?
Well, you know what? I wanted to pass along. You know, you're joking. It's a little bit of a joke that you were on your tombstone, vegetable shopping. But I'll tell you what. It varies from market to market, but I think most people have the same feeling as you are. Like, if you go into Le Bon's, they do everything they can, and they do a good job in policing. They take your temperature when you come in. If you're sneezing or coughing, you can't come in. They only allow 20 people in the store at a time, and they're vigilant with that. They have people that are roaming the store very politely, instructing people to follow the arrows on the floor so you can stop when somebody stops right in front. They do the great job, and most people are wearing their masks. But you go into some of the larger supermarkets, and I'll be honest with you, in some of our areas, some of the employees have their masks down when they're talking to one another.
I wouldn't go in there.
Well, that's exactly right. And also, people, probably 20% of the people in these larger markets don't have their masks on. And you know what?
Well, you know what?
It's crazy.
Say, the northwest corner of Connecticut is not in total panic the way New York City is. Around here, I mean, when I went to the Green Market, I wasn't even going to walk into the Green Market. But actually, you can't. You've got to wait on this endless line to get in. And it looked like people were more or less social distancing within the market, but there really were not that many people in the market. But I noticed that it was all young people. Nobody my age was going into the market. Nobody my age is even on the street unless they have a dog. If you walk around here, which I do, I mean, I live in on Prospect Park, and I would not go in the park because there are people in there who are not social distancing, but around the perimeter of the park, certainly on a weekday, is totally safe because there's almost nobody around. I mean, really, except people walking their dog. On the weekend, I'm finding it's another story, and that's when all the young people are coming out. I don't know why they don't come out during the week. None of them are going to work. But there's unquestionably a pall of anxiety, if not panic, where I live. It's not just, you know, we're not in the country air.
Now, do you want to hear an interesting story up here? And I think you'll love this as somebody who wrote in the newspaper. Our local paper, the Lakeville Journal, 2 weeks ago, published a story on ramps, okay, and picking ramps.
Yeah.
Okay. So last week I'm sitting here and I get a call from Sharon Hospital asking me if they could go on the air right away. So I said, okay, something happened, COVID-19. No, you know what the problem was? They had in one, I think, three-day period, 6 to 8 people come in with poisoning. What's the poisoning? Well, this early part of the season when the ramps are coming up, in the roughly same area, there's a plant that comes up that when it's small looks exactly like it, and it's lily of the valleys. So what these people were doing, they thought they were picking ramps. They were picking lily of the valley. Lily of the valley is extremely poisonous.
I didn't know that. But yep. It is the same
family. Yep.
They're both allium.
Yeah.
Both in the allium family.
And so they got very sick.
Wow.
And what you want to know is, Arthur, if you pick ramps, what do you expect to smell?
Garlic.
Garlic, onion. If you pick lily of the valley, you're not going to smell garlic or onion. So it's just one of those things, folks. And these, I know I shouldn't say this. These are probably weak people that moved back up here out of the city to get away from it, and they saw the article, oh, ramps, and we'll go out and get some ramps. Ramps are like mushrooms. You make a mistake, and you can get poisoned very, very quickly. So it's just one of the, that's one of those stories that goes along with people, you know.
So the woods full of ramps.
Oh,
the
God.
Spring continues, virus or none.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. The ramps.
Yeah.
Are,
I mean, I'm watching my out my kitchen window. I'm watching the cherry tree fade. It's still pink, but won't be much longer. And then the crabapple will bloom, and then, I mean, everything is, I mean, I love how spring just keeps coming. And in fact, speaking of spring, I had to buy asparagus. Finally, I broke down and bought some Mexican asparagus to bring a little spring in the house. And, you know, I think I've mentioned this before. I go to a very, what people can perceive as a very expensive, fancy supermarket. Called Union Market. There are four of them. There are three in Brooklyn. Well, maybe it's five, but only one in Manhattan, and all the others are in Brooklyn, but in affluent sections of Brooklyn. And so I'm buying asparagus there for $2.49 a pound. That's not a big deal.
No.
And so I bought some, but what Mr. Harnett is looking forward to, his a ritual spring dish around here, is pasta and asparagus, or sometimes pasta and peas. There are no peas to be found. In the frozen food case of my market, they have these very, very good frozen vegetables, and there were stacks of edamame, there were stacks of peas and carrots mixed together, there were stacks of other vegetables, but where the stack of peas would be was empty. I even foraged around in the back, or I should say rummaged around in the back of the freezer to see if they got stuck back there. But there were no frozen peas. But asparagus is also. So I bought some sliced ham for sandwiches, and this is wonderful French ham. So I'll cut that into some fine strips. With the asparagus, I'm going to slice them. I have to see. These are thick asparagus, thicker than I normally buy, but they did look extremely fresh. I can tell by looking at the bottoms, by the way, how fresh they are. And if there are wrinkles in your asparagus spears, they are not fresh. And the closer to fresh with asparagus, the absolute better. I always talk about this, that when I lived in Cornwall, we had this asparagus patch next door. It wasn't mine, it was my neighbor's. And I used to meet Bill in the spring, and we would stand there early in the morning and cut asparagus right out of the ground and eat it raw. It was fabulous. Anyway, I wonder what's happened to that asparagus patch. It's probably pretty, unless somebody took it out, it's probably enormous now. It does proliferate. So in any case, I'm going to slice. I may have to peel these a little bit, and because the stems are pretty heavy, and then I'm going to slice them on the diagonal in relatively not thin slices, but not big pieces. Actually, I'm going to take a look at the macaroni I'm going to use with it, and see if I can make it the same size, more or less. I often, when I do my medium size asparagus, I like to do this with penne, because, and then cut the asparagus the same shape as the penne. It's fun. Anyway, I'm going to sauté the asparagus, no boiling. I'm just going to sauté the sliced asparagus in butter. And when they're tender, really cooked, I'm going to add the thin strips of ham and a little heavy cream. I do have heavy cream if they were out of it on Saturday, but I scored some last time I was there. And because cream these days is ultra-pasteurized, it really does stay in the fridge perfectly fine for several weeks. I'll add some heavy cream, and that's it, and some grated Parmigiano Reggiano. It's a divine dish. It's very easy, very satisfying, and I wait till the spring. I do not buy $6 a pound asparagus from God knows where in the middle of the winter, but it is early spring, and very soon we will have local asparagus. I would say that Northwest Corner asparagus probably come up around Mother's Day.
Maybe
the week after Mother's Day.
We used to, my grandmother used to grow asparagus, and she used to cook the bejesus out of it, and I didn't like it. Later on in life, I learned that grilled asparagus is great, but if you're going to sauté asparagus, how long would you sauté it for?
It'll probably take 5 minutes. It does depend on the asparagus, and it does depend on how you want them. So, I mean, my blanket advice is taste. But I would say, they're going to turn bright green pretty quick, and depending on how thick you slice them and the freshness of the asparagus, it could take 5 minutes.
Boy, that's one vegetable that when it's overcooked, it's terrible. It's just terrible.
Well, when it's overcooked from a can.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah, you're right. It is. And I do, my go-to with asparagus, I do sauté them more than most people. I sauté them like that to put them in a frittata. Now, that's a spring treat for me. And if you have a little spring onion to put in there, it's even better. When I say spring onion, I mean scallion, but it could be a bulbous spring onion, too. My go-to is the oven. I think I do 450 for like 8 minutes. How's that sound?
That sounds good. And in a frittata, the nice thing about asparagus is there's a little crunch it adds to the frittata as well.
Oh, it gives it besides texture. Eggs and asparagus were made in heaven. The combination. And, it probably has to do with seasons, too. Eggs are most prolific in the spring. Asparagus are a spring vegetable. Put the two together. Another way I love asparagus is just have asparagus. They could be roasted or they could be boiled. And by the way, when I do boil spears of asparagus, which I do from time to time, I do it in a skillet. I put just enough water in the skillet to hold the asparagus and bring it to a boil, add the asparagus, and I say a skillet so that they can lay down flat. And then when they're done, to your taste, lift them out with a spatula and put them on a paper towel to drain. But those asparagus, or roasted asparagus, with fried eggs on top and lots of grated Parmesan cheese, is really a great meal. And if you do them, you might want to add, this is something, add a little browned butter. Just take some butter and cook it in a small skillet until it starts getting a caramel color, and drizzle that over your eggs and asparagus. I'm getting hungry. not only that, but it could be breakfast.
Well, that's now.
For long-lasting vegetables, I started to say I had the fennel, but cabbage really. You can keep cabbage around for a very long time you may have to remove some outer leaves, at some point. But I bought a small head of cabbage 2 weeks ago, and it lasted me 2 weeks. I did different things with it. I think I mentioned this last week. One night I made cold spaghetti dressed with an Asian dressing based on my last drops of peanut butter, but now I've gotten new jar of peanut butter, not my favorite brand, but okay. And I mix up peanut butter with soy sauce, sesame oil, garlic, vinegar, and make a dressing, and that goes on cold noodles. But if you toss it with finely, I mean, all I had in the house that night was this head of cabbage I was working on and some carrots. So I, with my mandolin on the finest julienne, I julienned the whole carrot, and I would say 1/4 of this small head of cabbage, I also very finely shredded, and it makes quite a lot of coleslaw, very finely shredded coleslaw. But then when you mix it with the noodles and the dressing, it sort of disappears, and you do get this nice crunch and vegetable sweetness in every bite. But it's not, you know, crunchy coleslaw. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I have a partner here who doesn't like his coleslaw too crunchy, so that's why I'm mentioning this. But it is crunchy, this is, and he loved it. And by the way, that fennel that I bought would also be really, really good in a cold pasta like that. What else?
Now, first of all, before you move on, I want to thank you. You mentioned about chicken thighs. I switched to make after you mentioned that several weeks ago, to making, instead of using a whole chicken, to buying chicken thighs to make my soup, and first of all, the cost of making the soup was cut in half. In half, first of all. Second of all, it makes much more soup. And then afterwards, I use the chicken.
Yeah, pretty good chicken.
It's almost as good as sliced bread, Arthur. It saves me money. It makes tons of chicken soup. And then I can make various chicken dishes afterwards.
I feel so secure when I have chicken broth in the freezer. I mentioned this before. And until I got my D'Artagnan delivery, I had been out of it. So I got these two chickens from D'Artagnan, and I did sacrifice one to soup. But I decided I didn't want to sacrifice, really. So I used my old... some of you will remember this. It was on my website, and a very popular recipe... I called it Chinese magic chicken, and it's a Chinese method of cooking chicken, which sounds preposterous, but it works. And I did it with this, I'll tell you what it is in a second, I did it with this D'Artagnan chicken to produce enough good chicken to make a large quantity of chicken salad, which did indeed last for more than two meals. That was worth doing. I'm going to sneeze. I'm just warning everybody.
All right.
I'm a loud sneezer if it happens. You put the chicken. Now, these were only 3-pound chickens. And in the old days, in the days when I bought a chicken on my own in the supermarket, I would pick a 4-pound chicken. I was very happy to have D'Artagnan's 3-pound chickens, and I'm looking forward to roasting the other one that's in the freezer. But... this one I put in a pot just large enough to hold it. I covered it with cold water. I used, for this 3-pound chicken in my, I guess it's a 5-quart pot, I put in 2 tablespoons of salt, which was too much, but I'll get to that in a sec, and a tablespoon of peppercorns, which was enough, but you know, maybe I could have used less. And you cover the pot, you bring it to the boil. When you see the steam coming out from under the lid of the pot, turn off the light and let it sit for 3 hours. This was only a 3-pound chicken. If it was a 4-pound chicken, I would have let it sit for 3.5 hours. But this was just 3 hours, and it was just cooked. Because it's a very young chicken, I noted that there were bloody parts at the bone, but the meat itself was not at all bloody. It was fully cooked. I stripped off the meat for my chicken salad, and I put back the bones and the skin and whatever was clinging to the bones and the skin, and added a little bit more water and a carrot. For this big pot of of broth at this point, two carrots, two ribs of celery, and a medium onion. And I let that cook for another 3 hours. Simmer. I kept adding water so it wouldn't go down too much, but the fact is I ended up with a broth that is so strong that when I went to eat it as soup the other day, excuse me, coughing, not sneezing, I actually had to dilute it. But I put the strong broth in the freezer, and I know now when I defrost it that if I just add 50% more water, it's going to be divine broth, and it doesn't take up so much space in my freezer. So that was worth doing with a whole chicken. But I totally agree with you that, you know, first of all, dark meat has more flavor than the white meat anyway. So the only time I use whole chickens these days for making soup is when I go to Costco, where the chicken is so cheap, like 99 cents a pound. I haven't been to Costco in a long time now. But the last time I was there, it was only 99 cents a pound, so you can buy. I usually comes out up with like 11 pounds in a, between two chickens. They're big chickens. So that makes really a lot of broth.
I'm amazed. And you know what? I even took the chicken itself, cut up some tomatoes, added paprika and some.
Excuse me, but where do you get the tomatoes?
It's cans. Okay, that's what I get.
Oh, canned tomatoes. Yeah. Okay.
And then I put paprika and some onion in it, and then I cook that up, and by the time it's all finished, the chicken just falls right apart, and that's another great meal that I'm telling you, it opened up whole new avenues for me.
By the way, the peanut butter sauce that I just outlined,
yep,
is terrific on boiled chicken. I always think of chicken salad as a mayonnaise salad, but there are so many other ways to do a chicken salad, and I think I don't even know who does this anymore, but there was a vogue for Chinese chicken salad. Do you remember this?
I don't know.
They called it Chinese chicken salad, and I'm trying to think. There was a very trendy restaurant on the first floor of the CBS building, Black Rock, remember?
Oh, yeah, Black Rock.
And now I can't think of the name. It was not a truly Chinese restaurant. It was a... Maybe it was called China Cafe or something. I have to look it up. I'm sure I have some record of it. But in any case, they popularized this salad. It was a rage. And it was based on cellophane noodles. So a bed of cellophane noodles topped with chicken dressed in a peanut sauce, as I described.
That would be good.
And then other salad stuff on top of that. It was a nice bowl of food, I got to say, for lunch. This is a big lunch place.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, well, it was good. And in fact, I think I even have a recipe for it in my files. I know I have a recipe. So the Chinese chicken salad became a thing, and I was consulting to a restaurateur in Manhattan who had a Chinese chicken salad on one of his menus. And I got, you know, so I have the dressing recipe, and I have the whole recipe in my file. It's not, you know, it's a restaurant dish, though. You know, these days when we're all staying inside, well, at least here in Brooklyn, we're staying inside. It's a project dish that it will be very satisfying. And I don't think any of the ingredients is so hard to come by. I don't know. I'm cooking from my pantry a lot. You know, I wrote the book,
yeah.
What to Cook When You Think There's Nothing in the House to Eat, because I lived in West Cornwall when there were no supermarkets. Utzler's clothes, we all remember Utzler's.
Yeah.
The bishops moved on to other things. One of them died.
Yeah.
Now both of them are gone, I think. I'm pretty sure. But anyway, there was this period in Cornwall where we had no supermarket. I had to go to Sharon, half an hour drive over the mountains.
See, you missed the great...
So I learned how to fend for myself.
You missed the heyday of West Cornwall, when West Cornwall had Utzler's, and then there was Freddie Bate with the meat market. I mean, you had, back in the day, you had...
Freshfields.
Charles and Geek.
Which was a wonderful restaurant.
Yeah, Freshfields was originally a great country store called Bierce's. Beerses.
Right.
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 Was it China Grill?
I came on the cusp
of
Beerses and Freshfields. But Freshfields was really good. And then it was bought by the fellows who still have the restaurant in the station.
Right, Charles and Guy.
Charles and Guy, right. They took over, and then it got another name. I don't remember. I don't think it was Freshfields anymore.
The Deck. Was it the
that
Deck?
The Deck was prior to Freshfields.
Right.
But whatever it was my delight, because I would pull up on a Friday night coming from, as my car pulled into the parking space, Charles would start mixing my martini.
Well, with all that being said,
all right, time for me to clean spinach.
That's right, and have breakfast.
And have breakfast.
All right, Arthur, take care.
Have a healthy week, everyone.
You too.
You too.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.